Thank you.
Thank
Thank you.
you. Left off, we just started to scratch the surface of the next sugya of the concept of kedima bebrachas, that I have two fruit in front of me and I'm going to only recite one bar per eight. The question is, which one am I going to recite it on? So everybody agrees that that's an important concept. Everyone agrees that we should try to aim for the most significant of the fruit. That's considered to be a cover, that's considered to be a hinder in Uchas Brachos. But it's unclear how do we measure, what criteria do we use to decide which is the more important of the two. So Rabbi Yehuda says you go after certain objective factors, those factors being Shivus Aminim, whichever is mentioned in the Pasuk, praising Eretz Yisrael, that's the more important of the two. And according to the Chacham, no, according to the Chacham, it's a Chaviv Kodem, whichever one you prefer. And we'll have to hopefully fine tune as we go on what that means. I prefer now, I prefer later, I prefer most of the time. But basically, according to Chacham, it's not a factor of the Shivus Aminim, it's rather more of a subjective significance. So within the view of the Chacham, it's clear that the whole halacha is revolving around some kind of a hinder mitzvah idea. We want to give more cover and more respect to the bracha, therefore we pick the most important of the two. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, maybe it's more than that. Maybe according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not just an aspect of hinder, but maybe there's something about Shivus Aminim that convinces us that that's where the bracha really belongs. Because maybe a bracha at Shivus Aminim is almost like a higher level bracha than in other kinds of foods. Why would one think that there's any real hierarchy that Shivus Aminim on a higher level? This is really a throwback more to the seventh parak than the sixth parak. Most of the sixth parak deals with Birchas Hanan before food. Most of the seventh parak deals with Bracha Chorona after food. But there is a Mishnah that actually appears at the end of the sixth parak that quotes a major Machlekes HaTanoim. What Bracha Chorona do you recite after you eat dates of figs, olives, grapes, any of the Shivus Aminim? What is the Bracha Chorona? The Gemara quotes one Tana, Rabbi Gamliel, who says the bench. How did Rabbi Gamliel know the bench? The Chalat was not the Bracha. So Rabbi Gamliel simply opened up his Chumash and it says, the Torah describes in the beginning of Parshas Ekev that you're coming to Eretz Yisrael, you can have all the beautiful, wonderful gifts of Eretz Yisrael, and here are the gifts. Chitos, Oreh, Gef, and Tein of Rimon, all the seven species, the Shivus Aminim. And then, one or two psukim later, the Torah says, by the way, you can have a lot of bread to eat also. Eretz Yisrael, Lo Beis Kedus, Tocha, Bo Lechem, and you can have everything that you want. And then right after talking about eating bread, the Torah concludes with the Echalta, Mesavata, Verachta. So comes Rabbi Gamliel and says that the Echalta, Mesavata, Verachta is going back at anything and everything mentioned in the whole last series of psukim, including bread, including dates and figs and olives. Anything of the above requires a birchas hamazon midaraisa. So according to Rabbi Gamliel, if it's a birchas hamazon deraisa, then there is no difference in the text between the bracha following bread and the bracha following figs and dates. And therefore, Rabbi Gamliel says, you bench a full shalosh brachas, a full birchas hamazon on all the above. The Chacham, no, the Chacham say it's not true. That Eretz Hifsika Inyan, that when the Torah introduces to us the Shivus Aminim, it speaks about Shivus Aminim, then it stops. Then it says again, Eretz Shalom Iskidus Tocha Balechem. Then it speaks about bread. So come to Chacham and say, from the fact that the Torah introduces the next phrase with a new, like a new paragraph, Eretz, you go over to Eretz Yisrael, eat the bread, that teaches us that bread, yes, and the other things, no. So according to the view of the Chacham that we paskin, the Shivus Aminim are different than bread. Shivus Aminim don't require three brachas. Shivus Aminim require suffice with only one bracha. That's because we accept the halacha. So it was a machlekes that we showed him how to understand what that means according to the Chachamim. What is pshat in the view of the Chachamim? So probably most of the Rishonim of the opinion that basically according to the Chachamim we're downplaying the bracha korona on Shivus Aminim. And Shivus Aminim is really not special in terms of it's special for other things, but not in terms of those brachas. Maybe it's important in terms of Uchas Bikurim, but there's no real relevance to Uchas Brachos. And therefore, midaraisa, the only model of Birchas Hamazon is bread, lechem, as the Torah says explicitly. Anything else is, by definition, only going to be midarabanan. And there are other Rishonim who say, no, it's not true. There's the Ritva and others who say that Shivus Aminim is deraisa. It's in the Pasuk. Pasuk says you eat figs and dates and olives and grapes. The fact that you make a lower level bracha The fact that it's not a full three brachas, that's a special halacha. That's a court. That's a gzeirus kasuv. But it doesn't detract from the deraisatik nature of shivas aminim. So that would be a big enough kibbutz ladino. Let's say a person fills themselves up on it, has a lot of dates, a lot of olives, a lot of parsley, stuffed to the gills on fruit, but he didn't wash, didn't have a piece of bread. So everybody agrees he has to make a bracha chorona. The question is that a deraisa take a bracha chorona or a derabanan take a bracha chorona? That could be enough kibbutz ladino. So the poskim discuss this. A person's not sure, did you make a bracha chorona or not? So if it's deraisa, then maybe you'd have to recite it again. It's derabanan. You wouldn't forget. This is a whole discussion poskim. If one takes the approach that the bracha of shivas aminim is really a high level bracha, it's an elevated bracha, and it even has a smacks of bigger deraisa, at least vis-a-vis bracha chorona, one can argue that we already saw this idea. The bracha rishona was instituted me'ein bracha chorona. That bracha rishona, according to the overwhelming majority of poskim, rishona b'chorona, is in fact not midaraisa. It's probably midrabbanan, but it was patterned after the bracha of brachas avozot. So maybe one can argue that there's a hierarchy of brachas. A borei priya eitz on an apple is not the same as a borei priya eitz on grapes. It's a different, it's the same word, same text. It's a different type of bracha. And maybe that's why Rabbi Yehuda opted for the more chashuv of the two. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said. If you have a choice between making that borei priya eitz on an apple or on a date, make it on the date, because the date is a high level bracha. The dates are deraisa dika brachas. The others are derabanan dika brachas. Again, we're not sure within the view of Rabbi Yehuda, what is the nature of the hierarchy of shivas aminim. Is it similar to the Chachamim that it's just a hidden mitzvah, just an objective criteria to figure out what's better of the two? Or is it something deeper halachically here that shivas aminim really is a different type of bracha? I'm sorry, Stephen.
Did anyone say that if you have the idea of shivas aminim?
No, Rabbi Gamliel said that. We don't pass that way. But just because there's no full bracha mitzvah, it could be that with the raisa one bracha may suffice. In Shalosh may suffice, right? This machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, there really a twofold issue that now arises. We have to decide, as number one, how do you pass it? Do you follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda? Do you follow the view of the Chachamim? Then you have to also decide what would the din be if, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you don't have shivas aminim, does Rabbi Yehuda deny the Chachamim's criteria? So let's say a guy's not eating dates and figs and olives. The guy's eating apples and pears, and he loves apples. He's not such a big fan of pears. So would we say that according to Rabbi Yehuda is not goreis the whole sugya of chaviv? Rabbi Yehuda says the only factor is shivas aminim. In the absence of shivas aminim, do whatever you want. You flip a coin, do whatever you please. Or do we say no? Of course, Rabbi Yehuda buys into the chacham. Of course, chaviv makes sense. It's just that Rabbi Yehuda holds that min shiva trumps chaviv. It's not that chaviv doesn't exist. So the absence of one of shivas aminim, even Rabbi Yehuda would concede to the chachamim, and vice versa. When the Chachamim say that, oh, Chaviv, that carries the day. That means that the Chachamim, they ignored the issue of Min Shiva. They go, Min Shiva, that doesn't mean anything. That's a Bikurim. That has nothing to do with those brachas. What does that mean? Of course, the Chachamim accept the concept of Min Shiva. The Chachamim just held that it's important. A lot of things are important. It's not as important as what's Chaviv to you. So what would the din be? Let's say I have dates and pomegranates. And let's say I have dates and apples. Dates and apples, there is no real chavim. I like both. I like dates. Some is it like dates, less apples. I have absolutely no preference. So would the chachamim just say I have no preference? So flip a coin, or the chachamim say no, in default of a real clear preference, then fall back on shivas aminim. So we really have almost like a threefold question here. We don't know how to paskin, whether we follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda, whether we follow the view of the chachamim, and number two, we're not sure whether Rabbi Yehuda buys to a certain degree into the chachamim's model. And number three, we're not sure whether Chachamim buy into Rabbi Yehuda's model. We also still have not yet fine-tuned what Chaviv means. Chaviv could mean what I like today, Chaviv could mean what I like in generally. And then a whole other dimension of the sugya is, there, up until now, we've been assuming that all the brachas are the same. These are all bar per eitzes. What if you throw another curveball into the sugya? What if I have an apple and a carrot? What if I have a grape and a potato? So what happens then? If the brachas change, does that alter what the psak is? So there are a lot of five different factors. That's why it's a long sugya. Before Pesach. It's a long sugya. A lot of different factors. So one of the major issues. No, that's a further question. That's question number six. Okay, and if there is, what is that hierarchy? So if you go back to the second of the Maamar Kavos. So we'll pick it up all the way at the bottom of the second of the Maamar Kavos, back to the first page. The last, I would say, paragraph of the second of the Maamar Kavos. Rav Chisda, Rav Amnuna, Havu Yaseh Besudosa. Rav Chisda, Rav Amnuna was sitting together at a meal. Aisu l'kabayu, tam reveri moni. It was brought to them dates and pomegranates. It sounds like, well, the Bolsheviks have made him, so what could possibly go wrong? Mark continues. Shaka Rav Amnuna, Baruch HaTamei Bereisha. So Rav Amnuna picked up the dates and he recited the Baruch Parades first on the dates, and he used the dates to be poked there in the pomegranates. Sounds a little bit like Rosh Hashanah night. Well, doesn't tell which day and night of the year the meal was, but so comes Rav Amnuna and picked up the dates and recited the bracha and Baruch Parades on the dates. Amalei Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said, Lo svir leimar lahadiyam Rav Yosef itaim Rav Yitzchak kol amukdam v'pasuk zeh kadam lebracha. Don't you follow the view of Rabbi Yitzchak? Don't you accept Rabbi Yitzchak taught us that whichever is earlier in the pasuk takes precedence in the pasuk itself? So if you just count to Eretz Chitos over here, Rimon, Rimon, Eretz Yishev Ludvash, Dvash means date, honey. So since Rimon is number 5 and tomorrow are number 7, so why did he make the bracha on the dates first? So I'm like, no, he responded, Zeh Sheni L'Aretz, Zeh Chamishi L'Aretz. That it's true that in the general pasuk, one is number 5 and one is number 7, but one of them is closer to the word Eretz, because the Torah repeats the word Eretz Zeh Shemun Udvash. So since the dates are closer to the word Eretz, they're number 2 from Eretz, and Rimon is number 5 from Eretz, even though Rimon is number 5 from Eretz number 1, and Tamarim are number 2 from Eretz number 2, it doesn't matter. Whoever's close to Eretz Yisrael is in a better position. So Amalei man Yavlech Nagri de Parzal and Shminech. He gave him a big big bracha that this is a great shikotah. The bottom line is that the Gemara concludes that even when you calculate what's considered to be within the pasuk, so there's a kedima within the pasuk itself. So it's a twofold kedima. Number one, you go, is it 1, 2, 3? Go just in an accounting order, which is the beginning of the pasuk. But once you get to anything mentioned after that that second word Eretz. Eretz Zeh Shem Udvash, so all of a sudden now the count starts over again. And if you're closer to the second word Eretz, so that's better. It's a very fascinating machshava here. Whatever's closer to Eretz Yisrael is better. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where, if you're the closer proximity to Eretz Yisrael. That's why I'm looking at the screen now. I think we have passed away. I think we have what we call Halacha B'yas Kulchem. We have a rove of the people on the screen, I think, in Eretz Yisrael. So we're honored to be close to the word Eretz Yisrael. At least we get a little bit of a kedim, a little bit of aliyah in our limud here as well. So l'chori, you see a few things from the sugya. Number one, that the Amoraim were reckoning with the idea of Shivas Haminim. These are Rav Chisda and Rav Hanuna. Rav Chisda and Rav Hanuna are generations later. They're well into the period of the Amoraim, and these Amoraim are following the practice of Rabbi Yehuda. So that seems to be a dead giveaway that we should follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Normally, we have a rule, Yachad Ram Lacha Rabim. The Gemara says that whenever you have a majority against minority, so 99% of the time, you follow the majority view, Yachad Ram Lacha Rabim. The Gemara in the fourth paragraph of Eirvin has a lot of different klali of psak halacha. And you have Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, and who do you pass like we have, which Tanah, which Amaroi, a lot of klalim that were developed in halacha as to how you generally pass in. But there's one klal that breaks all the other klalim. And the one klal that trumps everything is when the later Amaroi decided with one particular view, and they thought that notwithstanding the rule, but this is the exception to the rule, so be it. Whatever the later Amoraim decided is the exception rule, that's what the final Pesach Halacha is going to be. So here you have Rav Chisda, Rav Amnuna, who are clearly not following the Rabbim. They're not following the Chacham, they're following Rabbi Yehuda. So that seems to give a lot of strength to the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So that's in fact what led to probably most of the Rishonim to say that this sugya is an exception to the rule that we paskin against the Chacham on this one. We paskin like the Yochid because the Amoraim sided this way. That's the view of most of the Rishonim. But one could possibly disagree with that. One could disagree with that based on the following, that maybe there was no chaviv over here. I wasn't invited to the meal of dates, to the dessert, to the food platter of Rav Chisda and Rav Amnuna. So I have no idea. Maybe there was no chaviv over here. Maybe both fruits from the same equal footing. So therefore, that's why the Amoraim were ignoring the issue of Chavim. Nobody knows. We're missing that piece of information from the story. So the reason why the Gemara is chepering with the issue of which that you follow Shivas Haminim and which of the Shivas Haminim you follow, the Gemara gives you a whole hierarchy, which is first in the Pasuk, which is close to the whatever. The whole 9 yards about which of the Shivas Haminim, that's Chochma Ma'askinan, that there was no Chavim. But if them to learn that there would be Chavim, I have no idea what the din should be. Maybe Tachadim would be, maybe you would follow Chavim. So you can't tell 100%. Now again, that that deflection of the proof is assuming that Rabbi Yehuda buys into Chaviv also. So remember we started, we said, we're not even sure that Rabbi Yehuda buys into Chaviv. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda is just a Shiva Samina person. So again, it's hard to tell who holds what. So there's a lot of ambiguity in this sugya. So one thing we know crystal clear, that the Amoraim were following the idea of Shiva Samina. Does that mean they therefore paskin straight across the board like Rabbi Yehuda? Or what does that mean that this particular case lent itself to Rabbi Yehuda because it was lacking chaviv? That's still somewhat up in the air. So how do we paskin at this whole story? If we take a look at... the third of the Ma'amar Kavos, the Rush. The Rush writes... Says the Rosh, that sugya that talks about the hierarchy, that within Shiva Sabidim, there's one before the other, that entire sugya is following Rabbi Yehuda. The whole Hanach Amoroi, the Savi, the Kaman, called Mukta, the Apostle, Mukta, the Bracha, Rabbi Yehuda's Filu. So says the Rosh, since the sum of the Gemara, the later Amoroi, all the stories are following the view of Rabbi Yehuda, that should be the way we pass it. Hilchach, therefore, and maybe you'll follow shtei minim. The aim behind mizayin aminim go esav v'tapuach. Yivarach alachav tchil lekuliyama. So says the Rosh. If you have two fruits in front of you, an esrog and an apple, and so neither of them is from the shivas aminim, then you make a bracha on the chaviv. So what is the Rosh telling us? That even though we pass in shivas aminim, that doesn't mean we ignore chaviv. That means we think chaviv is very important, but not quite as important as shivas aminim. But in the absence of Shiva Saminim, then you go Basa Chaviv. Kevin Shiva Chaseim Shava, since the brachas are all the same. Vimyesh Ben Min Sheva, but if you have one of the Shiva Saminim, Kaimalank Rabbi Yehuda, then and only then do we follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda. The Amma Min Zayin Adif, Vivarach Alav, we follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda that you make the bracha on the Min Sheva. Avapi Sha'ach Chaviv Lo, even though the other one is desired by him more. So basically, according to the Rush, the hierarchy is as follows. Shiva Saminim trumps everything. Within Shiva Saminim, so then you have Shiva Saminim category 1ABC. So 1A of Shiva Saminim is that whatever is closest, whatever is beginning of the Pasuk comes first. And 1B is, even though it's late in the Pasuk, but it's closer to the word of Eretz Yisrael number 2, so that is going to be half Kedima. And when all else fails, and there's no Shiva Saminim, then and only then you follow the fallback on the Sugya of Chavim. So according to the Rush, Shiva Saminim is the top of the line. Chaviv is all the way at the bottom of the story.
Does the first half of the fruits have more chashivas than the second half of the one closer to Eretz?
I mean, if you would have a number two against number two. So the answer the poskim say is that then you would fall back on the early one in the pasuk. It's going to be hard to have because chitas ohr is always a tricky one because what you have chitas ohr is always going to be mizonos. And not always, so it gets a little bit complicated when you talk about chita and sora.
What about if you have
two
remaining and chavit?
No, since according to the Rosh, the first question you ask yourself is Shiva Saminim. Once you ask yourself Shiva Saminim, then you follow the whole standard of Shiva Saminim, whichever is closer to Eretz, etc. If and when there's no Shiva Saminim, then and only then you fall a Chavim. Chavim is like the last resort, then you start to look at Chavim. However, if you take a look at the Rambam, so the Rambam is literally 180 degrees opposite of the Rosh. So comes the Rambam with the fourth of the Rambam Kamos. Ha'yul afan abinim harbe. The guy has a lot of fruit in front of him. If all the brachas are the same, notice we keep on making reference to Birchosei and Shavos because that's going to change radically as the sugya develops. What if you throw in a curveball and you have an apple and a carrot? So does that impact at all on Hilchos brachas? Everybody agrees that you're not making multiple brachas. You're making one bracha, that's going to pot everything. In Birchosei and Shavos, that gets a little bit trickier. We'll leave that for now. So in Birchosei and Shavos, Birchosei and Shavos, Birchosei and Shavos. Now, says the Rambam, I'm going to make one bracha for all the fruit. Which one do I make? The Ezebem Sheyir Tzalahak Demakdim. Now, how do you read that phrase? The Ezebem Sheyir Tzalahak Demakdim. So I thought what that means is do whatever you want. I mean, this whole sugya, we're wasting our time learning this sugya. Well, there is no sugya. Do whatever you please. So it's very, very hard to read the Rambam that way because there's an entire Gemara. The Gemara talks about the Gemara doesn't give you that option just to do whatever you want. That's how we started off the sugya the other day. We said, how come Chazal don't give you a choice to do whatever you want? How come Chazal do make a big fuss about this? How come we all learning a 5-page Baruch Kama sugya about which fruit to make a bracha on first? Why don't you just do whatever you want? So the premise of the entire sugya is that that's not a kavadik, that there are some criteria you have to use. Whether you're a chavi person or a min shiva person, so you got to learn the sugya. But nobody takes the attitude of whatever you want. That's what the Mefarshit Kesef Mishnah and everybody else claims, that the Rambam didn't really mean that do whatever you want. What the Rambam meant is that the one that you want, not do whatever you want, like, you know, flippantly, just flip a coin, do whatever you want. It means the one that you want, you desire. That's another way of saying the chaviv one. So the Rambam is pasketing like the Chachamim against the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So that's legitimate.
Why is that? Why is that even a question? That's what the Mishnah's lashon is. Al eiza mehen sheyirtze.
Oh, so the problem is that if you just read the Mishnah sounds like do whatever you want, and nobody, the whole city doesn't exist. But the Gemara says explicitly a couple of lines later that the Chachamim, the first opinion, the Mishnah says chaviv adif. They use the phrase of adif. So they don't say nobody, none of the Amoraim interpret the Mishnah to mean kipshuto, that do whatever you please, that the Chum denied this entire sugya. So when the Rambam is quoting the Lashon HaMishnah, he means it through the eyes of what the Gemara says, that it must be Sheyirtzeh is the Lashon of saying Chaviv. So the bottom line is we're going to work with the assumption that the Rambam also agrees there is some hierarchy, it's just it's a radically different hierarchy than everybody else, than the Rush. But now the question becomes, well, what does the Rambam do with the whole story? The Amoraim, Rav Huna, Rav Nuna, Rav Chisda, 100 years after the Tanoim, the Amoraim were not talking the language of Chavim. They were talking the language of Ben Shiva. So what happened? So the Rambam, so we don't have a Rambam's Pabish on the Gemara, but from the Rambam right to Mishnah Torah, we can go backwards and figure out how the Rambam read the Gemara. So the Rambam continues. The end of the second line. Vim Eino Rotsa B'zeh Yaisa B'zeh. What if you don't want one more than the other? I.e. there is no Chaviv. So the end of the Rambam says, guess what, says the Rambam, then you fall back on Shivas Aminim. And then the Rambam gives you the whole Pisman. And he says that whichever comes first in the Pasuk comes first. The Rambam felt compelled to remind you what the Shivas Aminim were. And then the Rambam says, Utmarm Kalim Lanovim. He didn't forget. Not one iota, not one word the Rambam didn't leave out of the Gemara. He says, and by the way, if you have dates before grapes, you make on the dates first. Shetabarm Shaynal Aret, Fanam Shlishlot. He quotes the entire Gemara. I said, why is the Rambam quoting the whole Gemara? The Rambam a minute ago just said that we don't follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda. We hold that Chaviv is Adif. So the answer is obvious that the Rambam held, yes, we hold that Chaviv is Adif. If Chaviv beats out Shiva Saminim, but in the absence of Chaviv, so then even we accept the notion of Shiva Saminim. And the entire story of Rav Abnun and Rav Chisda was talking about a situation where there was no chaviv. Nobody was chaviv. Everything was equal footing. So since the Amoraim were working with a non-case of chaviv, therefore all the klalim that govern the kedim of Shiva Saminim were presented to us in this Gemara. So whereas the Rush saw in this story about Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, he walked away from the fruit platter of the Amoraim and said, aha, and the fact that the Amoraim were making such a fuss about Shiva Saminim and all the intricacies of what is Shiva Saminim, what's not, it's happened from now, you see, from here, says the Rush, that it must be that Rav Huna is right. And the Rambam, you don't see anything from here. You see that if and when Chaviv fails us, then and only then you fall back on Shiva Saminim, and therefore the Amoraim were compelled to tell us what the details of the Shiva Saminim are. So when all the dust settles, we still don't know what to do. I have my two fruit on the table. I have an apple and I have grapes, and I love apples. I'm not the biggest grape guy. I love, love, love apples. What do I do? So according to pure Rabbi Huda people, the Rosh Hashitah, open up Shari Kesh, Baruch Hashem Saminim, and call it a day. According to the Rambam, what do you mean? I love apples. If you didn't particularly love apples, then we'll talk about the Shiva Sabid. But if you love apples, then you make the bracha on apples first. So how do we pasken the halacha? If we take a look at the fifth of the Rambam Kavos in Shulchan Aruch, so the says the Shulchan Aruch chayil of fun of minei peres harbe in brachasem shabbos v'yesh b'nei min shiva machdim shiva. You make the bracha on the min shiva first. Af api she'eino chaviv kamo hamina acher. Even though it's not as desirable as the apple, min shiva carries the day. Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rush, following the view of Rabbi Yehuda. If there's no min shiva, then chaviv comes in second place. But on the hierarchy of things, min shiva chek layava. That's the first opinion. Shulchan Aruch. So what I mean, you have to like to some degree. Otherwise, what are you eating them for? So it's just a question of, you know, which I like more right now.
So like if I have grapes and apple.
No, if you don't want, if you don't want to eat the grapes, you don't have to eat the grapes. Then you just eat an apple. Nobody's forcing you to eat food you don't want to eat. But if you're planning on eating both, so then which one do you make the wrong? There's no chiyuv to eat the grapes. Yeah, you don't have to eat the grapes. Yeah, you don't have to eat it. But now Shulchan Aruch in the second half of the Kamos, it's if Beis, all of a sudden Shulchan Aruch quotes a different tune. Ula Harambam imhoya minechad chavlo yoser says the Ram Gavalt, says Shulchan Aruch, the name of the Rambam. If you have bin chaviv, so bin chaviv carries the day. And then if you skip to the next line, makdim achaviv lo ba'osa sha'a, and the Shulchan Aruch is assuming that within the Das Rambam, what's considered to be chaviv was chaviv right then and there. There are others who disagree with that also. There are others who say even if you're going to go down the root of chaviv doesn't mean right now. I generally like apples, even though right now maybe I'll enjoy the grapes a little bit more. So we have almost three different possibilities now with the Rishonim, what the final word should be. You have the view of the Rush. The Rush is the biggest Shivas Amin, everything Shivas Amin. There's no Shivas Amin, and then we'll talk about Chavim. We won't even open up the discussion about Chavim until Shivas Amin is over. Shivas Amin, Chayk Yava, and all the details when govern Shivas Amin. Then you have the Rambam who says Shivas Amin is nice. As an afterthought, when there's no chavim, then we'll talk the language of Shivas Aminim. But if there's chavim trumps everything, and now within the Shivas Rambam, but I haven't shown what the Rambam meant. The Rambam mean chavim wins what's chavim now, or does chavim mean what's chavim in general? So we have the three basic possibilities in the Rishonim based on just how we pass in the Sugya, then that plays out. But now we have really the second factor, which complicates everything, assuming that all the brachas are the same. What if you have now carrots and apples or carrots and grapes? Does that change anything? The fact that Ein B'chaseh and Shavos. So that the Gemara addresses, and hopefully Mitzvah Shavos, we'll have to put that on hold for a little bit. But when we come back after Pesach, so we'll have to pick up the Sugya. That now that we have the first half of the Sugya, we'll be able to begin into the second half. So, okay. I wish everyone in Shabbos, Chakosh Sameach.
Shabbos, Chakosh Sameach.